From this view of the nature of God and man, we begin to get an idea of the nature of man. The outer physicality is ever changing. The inner spiritual self is unchanging. It is the Word of God, the God Self, that teaches the way to the kingdom. When you are controlled by your mind, your God Self is not getting through. You don't give in, and you don't live in the rhythm of God. When you still the mind, your God Self comes through. And then you are taught by God. Is that clear? The Word teaches you, and gradually you undergo a change. The outer changes to conform to the inner. Everything you must know is conveyed from within by the Word. And when the mind is still, and as you continue in the Word, it gives you new vision, new hearing, new sensitivity, always to fulfill God's will and purpose. And finally, when your lessons are learned direct from God, God teaches you how to be His son. And the Word is made flesh. You must submit to the Word within, the Christ, who has the Father's ear. And by submitting to the Word, you are taught by God. Remember, only the Word survives. You can call it I. You can call it Christ. You can call it the Son of God. In everyone. But be my son. Be the living Word. Because unless you are the living Word, when your world disintegrates, you'll disintegrate with it. And everything you value will go up in smoke. You will no longer begin another lifespan, another parenthesis, if you are the Word. but you will begin once more your divine life. And you will live where there are no opposites, where there are no doubts and no fears, no frustrations. And you will have learned that life goes on. And where you walk, your foot will not stumble. My son, forget not my law, but let thy heart feel my commandments. This is the first verse of Proverbs. One of the greatest problems we have in reading this verse is that we think of the Ten Commandments. But this verse applies also to the ten soul commandments, which are given by Christ and reduced to a number of two, among which is the greatest commandment that anyone can ever know. The son of woman must be transformed into the son of man. He must be born of the Spirit. The Old Testament writers hinted at transformation. When Jesus came out of the Essenes and demonstrated transformation, they were shocked. The days of talking about it were over. The days of doing it had just begun. The promise that it could be done was always present in the Old Testament. For length of days and long life and peace they add to thee. And the book of Proverbs goes on. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon the table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. This doesn't tell you much, does it? But it's leading you to an important conversion. So the next word is important, so important that if obeyed, it can bring you to a new level of consciousness. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. These words were spoken on earth, and the world had never yet heard of Jesus Christ. They had never heard of the inner Christ. And yet, Christ was speaking these words. Scripture has always been leading you to the inner Christ. To take man from law to grace. Always. The voice within, which spoke within every prophet, was Christ. Providing a continuity of Christ's purpose, a continuity of purpose that you can trust in all thy ways. Acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It shall be health to thy name and marrow to thy bones. Honor the Lord with thy substance. And with the first fruits of all thine increase. The discovery of Christ in you is the beginning of your rebirth. From that moment on, you are safe. Your journey is inevitable. And at times you may seem to struggle. But Christ has a firm grip on your infinite life. Your vision may temporarily cloud over, but Christ within will keep you on course. The clear teaching is that Christ within is your teacher, and you slowly are led by the mind of Christ. From your reliance on your human mind to the Christ mind, this Christ mind guides you in spiritual living. takes you from mortal thought, mortal beliefs, mortal will, gradually lifts you from mortal limitations, where you can realize the full power of God is functioning wherever you are at all times. There are many ways the presence of God is called to your attention. God is light. In him is no darkness. Saul was on the way to Damascus. Suddenly a light shined all around him. Later in prison, when the prison doors were opened without a key, a light shined. Where did this light come from? It was the light of Christ within Saul. Shining without. And while you walk this earth, the light shining within is always there. And yet a little while is the light with you, so walk with the light. Let darkness come upon you. Walk with the light while ye live. Believe in the light. Lest darkness come upon you. Light is another word for Christ. While you have Christ within you, believe in the light, that ye may be children of the light. So let's clarify this. When Christ is born in you, you are the child of God. That rebirth, that Christing, is the heart of Christianity. After your Christing, there can be no death. So it is said, you cannot follow Christ into death. If you find Christ, then you do not die. If you do not find Christ, you remain in mortality, still seeking the very Christ who lives within you. That Christ is within you this very moment. Like a tight rosebud, Every divine law that you obey opens the rosebud a little further. You may continue for 10,000 years with no release. If you act humanly, and if you seek humanly, and maintain human goals and beliefs. But when you live spiritually, the unfolding of the rosebud accelerates, releasing more light, more Christ action, until your consciousness catches fire with the realization that I am the light. Then you can face the Red Sea or the soldiers in the Garden of Gethsemane or even the disintegration of the world with its false suffering, and the light of God remains you. We have one important discovery to make now, and we'll do that after we meditate. Ask you where the light has been while we were asleep. Knocking at your door. Where were we while the light was knocking at our door? We were living in time. We were living superficially in a sense of now. But we were not in communion with God, the God of time is not God. The God of time is a creation of man. Does God get a day older? Every day? Does Christ get a year older? Every year? Time is a human invention. And it lacks one thing. It is never now. It always was. It always will be. Now is past. Why do you even mention it? It's gone. In every second of time, you are dying. Like quicksand. Each minute passes away, to be followed by another, and another, and another, which always pass away just as quickly as the first. Now, how can man live in passing minutes? There's a mistake somewhere, isn't there? What a fool man is to call the sum of passing dying minutes his life. That is not God's life. Do you know what causes these minutes? Your eyes, which see the sun rise and set, your ears, which hear the crescendo, and decrescendo of the wave, your touch, which feels the rise and fall of the wind, sensations tell you that years have passed. Sensations that cannot report the miracle of Christ. Who never grows old, and of God who was never born and never dies, because he is always, always now, as the Son is of God is always now, as we are always now. The transition from the momentary now in this world to the eternal now in God's kingdom of reality is imperceptible, but only to mortal sense. To you, your patient appears sick, but your patient is God. And why does your patient appear sick? Because your patient is in a false now. He's in the fleeting now. The now that is gone the second it arrives. And God is in the now that is so permanent that the momentary now passes so fast with your eye and ear and your senses in the momentary now that they can never see God, the permanent now, face to face. When time stands still in meditation, really still, the illusion of time is not there. And we begin to experience reality. If you could meditate into the eternal now, your patient would have an instantaneous healing. Jesus lived in the eternal now. That's why his so-called patients recovered instantly. He brought them from a concept of time to the real eternal now in an instant. While they were in his consciousness, they felt that miracle of instant healing. Jesus taught them that few there be who can follow the straight and narrow, and few there would be who might find it. Because the straight and narrow is the now. Now gives us a total new world. In now, we find the secret way. Only now is God. If you want God, you have to go to now. Now is spirit. Now is the kingdom. Now is not yesterday. Now is not tomorrow. Now is not a second ago or 1 second from now. How are you going to find now? If you can't hold now right where it is, when you find that elusive now, you will find perfection in the kingdom of God. I challenge you to find now. I challenge you to accept that challenge. And we will find it together. In that split second, a panel opens in the atmosphere, and you are out of time. Out of the universe, beyond, you find the timeless. The now. Me is gone. I am now. In the absence of me, spirit functions. Thought is gone. No desires. No future. No past. In this eternal second, which is the same as the infinite now, Your daily bread flows in abundance. Regeneration comes. Fulfillment is continuous. Look forward. Anticipate the breaking of time and the open door which embraces you, in which the now engulfs you. When you experience it, you experience God. We are going to break through the illusion of time very frequently. It will come slowly at first, but it will accelerate. We will be in the reality which is all around us, awaiting our perception. And we will practice the presence of God without opposite. We will make God the center of our life. We will see God's perfection in all things. You will begin to experience these moments when the hypnosis parts like a veil, when these moments become more frequent, you're close. I'd like to suggest that between now and the Chicago seminar, you work several hours a day. Well, several hours a week on getting out of time. It's a blank wall at first. But when the walls start tumbling down, you'll know that you're more than halfway home. This series so far has revealed that spiritual progress has no closed end. The end is open. I believe we've come a long way. In Revelation, our responsibility is indicated by the depth of the insight we can receive. And as we receive it through Christ's revelation, we must share it with the outer world. We must ask ourselves, what am I here to do? What am I trying to do? As for healing, if we have patients, we are not trying to bring them good health. They have it. We are trying to open up their being to a new way of life so that they see it. We are freeing man from the world mind by freeing ourselves. This is a beautiful process. You are leading your patients to understand that they are God. You can't do it all at once, but you can start in your family. You certainly can train your children to know the truth quietly, silently, within themselves. You can train them not to broadcast, not to go out into the school and shout, "I am God." You can train them that other people do not know. A child's mind is open. Open for your teaching. And you become a healer to your family. And you have a responsibility to them, which you didn't know you had. No, you don't pile them in the car and drive them to the hospital or the doctor. Your responsibility is to teach them truth. Not to sit them down and insist that they learn, but to intrigue them with truth, whet their appetite. Let them ask you questions. Show them how the questions are solved. Always a finger to their lips and to yours. Yes, we have a responsibility as healers. We can train maybe 200, 300, 500 healers, people who are not hypnotized. You see, that's our subtle purpose. When they are not hypnotized, when they can face universal beliefs, when they can stand in their own Christhood knowingly. And so you must be an example. You must be trying to live the Christ way. I wish to assure you that certain things will happen. Oh, you will go so long, and you will think, when do I enter the kingdom? How do I enter the kingdom? Where can that kingdom be? Obey my commandments. Abide. Dwell in the secret place. Faithfully. Be assured. You have a trustworthy teacher. Christ within is on the job throughout eternity. Take advantage of it. Let us meditate now with a firm knowledge that I am Christ. I am Christ. I can never die. Wherever I go, Christ is within me. And whoever I see, Christ is within him, within her. Why have I lingered in judgment of a so-called enemy? Haven't I known I was violating God's divine law? I was looking at God. I was seeing a man.